Hello and welcome to the Satyr's Thicket podcast. I'm Nick.
I'm Ashley.
I'm Naria.
And today on the podcast, we are going to be talking about patron and matron deities and how we worship them, and also non-patron deities, and just how everyone's Samhain went in general. So we'll be back after these messages.
Houston to Satanic Reindeer.
Houston, this is Satanic Reindeer.
Satanic Reindeer, have you found any signs of intelligent life?
Negative, Houston. No signs of intelligent life. Only a giant pile of processed plant fiber. Copy that, Houston? No sign of intelligent life.
We copy, Satanic Reindeer. Retreat from the New Age section. Repeat, retreat from the New Age section.
Copy that, Houston. Returning to base.
Searching for intelligent pagan discussion? Then listen to the Pagan-Centered Podcast on Pagan Radio Network or PaganCenteredPodcast.com.
You're listening to one of the many podcasts by the proud Pagan Podcasters. You can find more Pagan Podcasts at PaganPodcasting.org.
And we're back. The first topic comes from a question posted on AskAPagan.com, which is actually a service of the Pagan Centered Podcast. I have been given permission from Dave of the Pagan Centered Podcast to use this. Mika Lee writes, I was wondering, when it comes to personal patron slash matron deities, how do you worship or honor them? Do you research and look up how they have been honored or associations they've been given in the past? Or do you just kind of feel for what's right for you and them, or a combination of both? So let's start out. Anyone who wants to jump in?
I do both. If I have absolutely no idea where to start from, I will do some research, maybe pick up a book, or, Wikipedia. I'll do some Google research and see what I can figure out, and once I have a general idea of what the entity looks like, or I can go from there, or different things that they might like offering-wise, or if they have any specific symbols that are associated with them. Like for the Loa, when I work with them, it's very specific. Each Loa has their own specific what's called Vave to identify them with. So just kind of go from there and use your instincts to guide you.
I kind of do the same thing. What I like to do is I like to research some of the myths for that deity and try to get a feel for what that deity is like through the myths and even in some cases asking them directly. Because sometimes I find that deities don't always want to be worshipped in the way that they used to be worshipped. Sometimes they want to change things up a little. To be honest, it's really up to it's up to both of you. You know, what the deity feels comfortable with and what you feel comfortable with in doing. You know, don't assume that just because this is some divine being that they can force you to do something that you're extremely uncomfortable with.
Like a social contract. But
right.
I like to poke first and ask questions later.
Mm-hmm.
Let them figure it out. You're the deity after all.
I know one of the things I like to do is because I have a couple of different books on mythology, if I feel that a deity is trying to come up to me to ask me to do something, I generally try to look up their myths and you know, things like that.
Hey Nick, when's the last time Loki approached?
Heavy sigh.
Let's see. Last time Loki approached. You know, he kind of likes to hang around at times. Although, as to the exact date of last time he was around, I can't really recall. There are just some instances where something happens and I'm like, damn it, Loki.
What?
I just kind of get a sense of laughter. But I don't normally deal with the Norse gods. Except for Loki occasionally pops his head in.
Poor Nick.
Yeah.
Who did you mess with to end up with a Loki?
I plead the fifth?
Okay.
It may or may not have something to do with a certain editor at Pathos. I mean, a certain site.
Post-production.
For the win.
So this question about patron and matron deities also leads on to our next topic about non-patron deities. Because a deity comes to you asking you to do something for them doesn't necessarily mean that they want to be your patron or your matron. They just think that you're the best person to do that particular job that they want you to do. So I find that does happen with me occasionally. And I don't know, what about you guys?
Personally, that's mostly what I work with. I don't have a patron or matron deity. I kind of have deities that I like to communicate with, but that's more like a friendship. I don't worship. It feels awkward for me to worship. The last time I actually tried to devote myself to a deity was Anubis, and it was just a very weird energy vibe in the room, and I just got the feeling of him going, "What are you doing? Please don't do that. This is very awkward." It was like, for some reason, I had the idea in my head that it was like me seeing someone on the street, like, "Oh, hey, Anubis," then dropping down on my knees, "I want to worship you, O Masterful One." And everyone's watching, and Anubis is like, "Dude, please, just get up already. God, what are you doing?" "Oh, please, accept me. Don't do that, please."
Oh,
no,
God, please don't do that.
"Oh, me, please don't do that." So there'll be times where a deity's like, "Hey, Ashley, what's up? You want to, like, here, can you do this for me?" "Okay." Or I'll go off and I'll ask it, whatever deity I might be close to, feel like I might have a connection to, or something draws me towards them. I might ask them to help me with something. I would repay them for helping me. And that's just the way it is. And there's times where I don't really see or hang around that deity anymore. They're just like friends, I guess.
Compatriots? Brothers in arms.
Huzzah!
You know, I was thinking, while you were mentioning all that, Ashley, I was thinking that possibly going about things that way is a good way to actually find a patron deity or a matron deity. Because you get to know the different deities and how they like to work without having that sort of relationship being pressed upon either of you. And, you know, from there it can kind of grow out of that naturally instead of seeking to force something.
It is kind of like dating, isn't it? You kind of marry yourself to a deity.
Pretty much.
No sleeping with the gods. Behave.
But They're cute.
Don't care if Anubis is an amazing kisser. No.
No, I don't. That would be weird to do that with Anubis. It feels too much like I was yiffing a furry.
I would imagine that his breath would smell like death anyway. That would not be a good thing.
Unless I was into that kind of thing. Oh, yeah,
Project
no.
Bow Wow? But yeah, no matter how much you may wish it to be, Anubis is not a whiny emo 16-year-old.
No, he's not. Just picturing Anubis with emo hair.
Oh, that would be sexy. And fishnets.
Seeing the urge to Photoshop, I would get smoten.
His ears pulled down and pulled to the side.
No, his ears would still perk up and be the same. It was just like, ugh, emo hair. Grumble.
And Nervous Marcus, just look for the sign with the jackal-headed man.
Huh. What is our next thing of talking?
How everyone's Samhain was.
Oh, mine was interesting. Well, this year I dressed up as Baron Somni, and I got to go to work like that because my manager at work is amazing. So I had plenty of opportunities to absolutely terrify people with my skull face, a top hat, and a really cool-looking coat. And I had a really good time. And then at the end of the night, I decided to get Baron Somni chicken wings because I didn't have a designated driver to go get him some rum. So I go into this cluck you by my house, just walking in full costume, whatever. And the guy, he's looking at me, he's like, oh my god, you look beautiful, you look amazing. He's like, oh, I give you a deal, 50 cents a wing. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'll get 20. Yes, you got it. Whatever you want. I'm freaking out. It's like, it's awesome. This is great. And then he showed me the chicken costume that they make the poor bastards wear to go outside and promote their chickeny wares. And he's like, you know what? I take a picture with you. Let's take a picture. Okay, we're taking a picture. So now there's going to be a picture in the cluck you by my house of the owner or manager, whatever the hell this guy is, and Baron Somni throwing up a peace sign and laughing in very Somni fashion. And it was amazing. And he had chicken wings. And he really likes chicken wings, apparently. And he ate so many, it kind of made my tummy hurt. I'm like, please, Baron, buddy, yes, these are your chicken wings, but my belly hurts.
Did you come down? Did you get the chance to send any toddlers crying?
Almost, but I pulled it back because I didn't want a little kid to just freak out. There was one kid that refused to come out of the car to go come in the store. He just took one look at me, and his mom's like, "Mom, I'm gonna go in the store," and the kid just closed the door on it. It's like, "No, what are you doing?" And I asked her. I pretty much begged, "Lady, can I go out and terrify your child, please?" Please. And there was this one kid that thought I was going back in the store because I went out to my car to get something. When I was coming back, he thought I was going in to rob the place. I don't know. I snuck up on the one gas driver. He was dumping a load of regular into the tanks. And I'm walking over because I was sweeping the lot in costume, which is an amazing game image. Baron Somni sweeping a parking lot. And he's like, whoa, that's a really good costume. It was a very interesting day.
Yeah. That sounds pretty interesting. What about you, Nuria?
I did my traditional practice of tracking down dead relations and stalking them, seeing what they're up to. Waddle, 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 stalk, stalk, stalk. Yay! Coyote? When did that happen? Adorable.
Anyway, I know what I did for sun. I went to one of the local parks here right around midday to afternoon, and I just did a ritual to honor my ancestors and the Lord and Lady. Although, when I was trying to light the candles wouldn't light because the wind kept picking up every time I would try to light the candle. Wouldn't pick up whenever I wasn't trying to light the candle. It's just that every time I went to go and light the candle with my lighter, it was like, no!
Loki.
I got the feeling it was more maybe Pan or maybe Hermes.
Babdol.
I think it might have been Pan just fucking around with me.
Aw, that's really nice.
Yeah, it was. Wasn't so nice at the time. It was annoying the crap out of me. It's like, really? Trying to do a ritual here, do you mind? But yeah. And then some guy almost barreled right through my circle with his two dogs and his wife. And he had to ask me if I was a devil worshipper. That was. Nah.
Nice, that's real class right there.
Yeah, that was actually fairly annoying as well. That was more annoying than the wind.
I can imagine. Hey, are you a devil worshipper? Oh, just
Right.
go away.
Right in the middle of my invocation.
Talk about being caught with your spiritual pants down.
Yeah. But yeah, that was my Samhain. Oh, and then I came home and I decided to light the candles later on here at home in honor of the Lord and Lady and my ancestors. And my mom had the nerve to try and blow them out because they were originally her candles. And I, let's just say I reappropriated their use.
It's like having decorative towels in a bathroom. Really? Towels
Exactly.
are meant for using, not for looking pretty.
Exactly.
You have way too much time on your hands if you have things are there for just pretty.
Yeah, because see, she loves to get candles and have candles, but she doesn't like to burn them because she thinks they look pretty.
Then you get more when those are gone. You know, it looks really pretty, half-melted candles. They can't get half-melted unless you use them and stuff.
Exactly.
Silliness.
Nick, you should have gone emo on her. Been like, but I need to invoke the devil.
But I'm not a devil worshipper. I thought we already established that with the guy that tried to run through my circle.
Well, now's as good a time as any to start. Why not? Come on.
No, I don't think I'll be into devil worship, thank you.
How about social relationships with devils? How about that?
I don't like Slayer enough to do that.
Hey! Demons are cute and fuzzy. Especially when they try to numb your soul. You take a little newspaper and you beat them on the nose with it. No. No numbing souls.
The only thing like that that's cute and fuzzy is Cthulhu.
Ah, or Cat-thulu.
Especially Cat-thulu.
I'll have to sneak up on my cat again and see if I can get a picture of that.
She'll scratch her face off and be like, no. So did any of you guys hear about this Hail Columbia thing?
I think I vaguely clicked on a page that said something about it. Was it the Wild Hunt, right?
It was on... I think there was a guest post on the Wild Hunt, but I think it might have been somewhere else on Pathos as well. Apparently, there is a group that is basically the pagan response to the New Apostolic Reformation, and their basically their prayer war campaign thing. Basically, what the NAR is trying to do is they're trying to use prayer to effect change within the government to make the United States a basically a Christian theocracy. And the Hail Columbia Project is, yeah. The Hail Columbia Project is basically a group that was formed in response to that.
That's and good.
It's a pagan group. And their stated, I believe their stated purpose was to promote religious liberty and to uphold the amendments of the Constitution and things like that.
Yes, very good.
Although I heard that they weren't doing so well in, what was it, I don't remember if it was in an organizational respect or if it was something else. But not surprising considering it was, I believe, started by people at Pathos.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember if it was Star Foster or if it was Kara Schultz or who it was exactly.
According to the Wild Hunt blog, it says that Star Foster and others created a Facebook page and a Dash to put together a website to spread information and coordinate pagan responses. So perhaps they helped in the spreading the information.
Well, let's hope that this thing goes through in a proper way, because if it doesn't, it could be the most epic pagan fail of all time.
Oh, my goodness, would it. Now, the reason, like, in case there's listeners that are listening right now that aren't quite clear as to why we would give a crap about a bunch of people praying, the whole idea is there's a group of people, the Christians, are gathering their collective conscience together into one big, massive energy ball. Yes, if you want, you can use Dragon Ball Z as a reference. It won't work against you. And although they're just kind of bringing all their thoughts into one line to cause this massive change, and if you believe in energy working and the different aspects that go around magic and things like that, when you bring a bunch of people together that think the same thought, it collects together in like this gigantic tidal wave, and you can cause a serious amount of change or maybe even damage to something if you focus on one simple thing. It's so the pagans see that, and they see that as something that can actually happen, because that, like, as much as Christians want to deny the use of magic, prayer is basically the same thing, at least from the pagan viewpoint. Be nice. And so pagans are trying to counteract that because they don't want to see that change. If all those people come together and make it a theocracy and find a way to influence the actual physical world, that could be very bad for the rest of us. So they're attempting to bring balance back. Hopefully that will work and they don't screw up, like you said, Nick.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's all aboard the metaphysical failboat.
Set sail for fail.
Because, you know, nobody out there is skilled enough to, you know, take that energy and ground it.
Well, only you, Naria.
Are you really expecting a generic gathering of pagans like that to have such an advanced Oh, well, I'm going to be insulting. Such an advanced knowledge of metaphysics to think, you know what, I can just take that and ground it and redirect it somewhere else.
Healing the earth with Christian energy. Because that isn't immoral.
We'll finally put that energy to good use.
Well, you know, it's...
District for Christ? Seriously? That makes my brain hurt.
Yeah. Well, it's like people from Pathios, not all of them, some of them, but not all of them, sometimes have this amazing ability to fail and also to cause a lot of drama. I'm hoping that this kind of movement does not succumb to that.
Me too.
And I'm hoping that they fully realize what kind of impact they could have whether they fail or whether they succeed. Especially if they fail.
Now, what are the... NAR people doing? Do they actually have places where they all collect together? Like prayer halls or whatever, and sit together and actually meditate together to focus?
I'm not sure. I think it varies depending on region. And I think some of them have gone to DC. I'm not entirely sure. I do recall that there was some sort of... basically, a 51-day prayer fest, if you will, that was basically calling for prayer to effect change within the United States government. So, regardless of whether they're meeting in halls or churches or homes, you know, I mean, I think the effect would still be the same.
I'm just thinking more, is it a bunch of people on a website clicking, like, share or whatnot? Or is it people actually inhabiting the same space and feeding off each other's energy and actually focusing it? Because I know that there is a tendency among pagans to just click like on a Facebook post or start a little prayer chain or have a cyber petition and that be the end of it rather than actually have a very focused effort, which Christians are very good at because they're very good at keeping each other in line. And personally, from a Satanist perspective, they always have had that herd mentality and they're very good at herding one another.
Well, as far as the NAR goes, I do know that the higher-ups are definitely connected with politicians and the like, and so they do have some influence over the government. Specifically, the more conservative candidates, like, who was it? It was Rick Perry and a couple of others. And for the pagan counter-protest, which is basically what this is, or the counter movement, they have had meetings in, say, DC and other areas. So there is, I believe there is on both sides more of a sense of people physically coming together to do something.
I guess, no, you said that pagans are doing that or just the NAR people?
I believe it's both. Let me look that up real quick. I know definitely that the pagans are doing it. The Hail Columbia movement is doing it.
Oh, okay, good.
But
because that's the only thing I'm worried about.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely the Hail Columbia movement is doing it. They actually just had a gathering that they did in D.C. that was just a couple of days ago.
God, we're going to have prayer offs. Meditation battles.
God, that makes me think of Star Wars. Knights of the Old Republic battle
Yeah.
meditation.
You know what? I was totally thinking of Dragon Ball Z.
I think
Selena
Narita.
Fox trying to nail one of the conservatives with the Kamehameha wave.
Somebody throws around a spirit bomb.
Oh, God.
Meanwhile, Peter Dibing is like, "Why didn't you dodge?"
We're all God warriors. I'm a God warrior. I'm a goddess warrior.
So, if this particular battle is going to be like Dragon Ball Z, I wonder who's playing Vegeta.
Somebody who's very short.
Or how about Nappa?
Now we're going to go with Team 4-Star Nappa, or...
Definitely Nappa. Team 4-Star Nappa.
Team Vegeta!
Call an own count?
Look, Selena, it's a Monday.
That's right, Selena Fox can be Vegeta. That mean.
No, I don't think she would be that mean either.
She'd be like a nice version of Vegeta that occasionally made people cookies. Actually, I kind of see Selena more as a Goku, but smart, I'm sure. Peter Diamond could be Piccolo.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, this is very nerdy. Anyway, back to constructive discussion, goddammit.
Constructive discussion? Since when have we ever done that?
Well, we were going pretty good there for like 5-10 minutes.
Then we all got off topic and started talking about Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, sorry.
Meanwhile, the listeners are like, what the hell are they on about?
I blame Dave.
Dave, bless it.
Dave. Dave, bless us, everyone.
Hey, it's not Cthulhu Moss just yet.
Never too early to start.
Final thoughts?
I say that Peter Diving should throw a big old destructo disc at the silly Christians so they can't blow up the earth like Frieza.
That would make him Krillin, though.
I know.
We need
but the listeners
Peter...
probably wouldn't get that. Now, the thing is, you hate me. How dare you? That was the wrong technique. Yeah, Peter Diving's too short to be Krillin.
Peter Diving own count.
I'm sorry, that freaking cell phone went off. God damn it, Daniel, shut up. Stop texting me. Need to turn off volume on phone. There
so,
we go.
My final thought, aside from the fact that people should turn their cell phones off before doing a podcast. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Is that just because there's a large group of Christians trying to affect this sort of change in the government, it doesn't mean that all Christians are like this. And it doesn't mean that somehow... Yeah, we hate all Christians because I know somebody somewhere is going to try and take the discussion that we had and try and twist it to make it say, oh, we hate Christians, which just is not the truth. In fact, there's a lot of Christians that are on our side that are on, you know, that are supportive of the Hail Columbia project.
Yeah. I've been, like, me being a Satanist, I've been friends with plenty of Christians. And I mean, like, there's this one guy that I went to college with. He is attempting to become a reverend, and I really respect him. I really respect his thoughts. He honestly believes in the scripture that he says he believes in, and he lives it. And he wants positive change in the world. And if that means going against what the other Christians say, he's okay with that because he believes that's something that Jesus would do. And I am really just 150% behind him. And I'm just so proud to know him. And I wish more people had that conviction in their lives.
And remember, just saying, Jesus was a rebel.
Indeed he was.
Whip them bangers.
Is that your final thought, Nuria?
No, my final thought is Loki with a skull mask, riding on the back of a griffin with Anubis with emo hair, and they're riding into the sunset.
That's amazing. We need a graphic.
Now, why you gotta pick on griffins and Anubis like that?
Because they're so cute and fluffy.
No!
Just need a soundtrack.
I think that's it for this episode. So, stick around till next time, I guess. Bye.
Fishy, fishy, fishy.